Good morning. It's so true, yet not I. It's through Christ in me. Good morning, everyone. You all have a good July 4th. We celebrate independence, we celebrate freedom, and now we have the freedom to worship, and freedom also not to sin, to get away from slavery of sin. Can you all see me okay? You sure? You see? I need to put my glasses. Sometimes, sometimes I not see good, sometimes I see good, but sometimes I need glasses, sometimes I don't. So, today's sermon is God Sees Me. As you all know, God is omnipotent. He can do everything. He can do all things. He knows all things, and he sees all things, right? So, let me ask you a question. When I look at you, how do I know that you see me? How do I know that you see me? How do I know someone sees me? Wave. Visual contact. And sometimes I need to put on my glasses to see you. Intentionally, I need to put on my glasses because there are times I may not see good. My eyesight are getting bad. That is sin. But still, we have the freedom to see. So how do you know someone sees you? Eye contact is real good. But in order to have eye contact, what am I doing? I'm looking at that person. I'm looking at you, and I know you're seeing me because your eyes and my eyes are connected. I see you and you see me. And that's how I know you see me. Sometimes you will say you wave, but I still need to turn to Jeremy, right? If I don't turn to Jeremy, then I'll never know he sees me. He may yell, I mean, recognize his voice, but I don't know whether he sees me or not because he can be in the crowd, he may be lost and looking for George instead. He sees me. Maybe he doesn't see me. He still yell out my name, George. What he's asking is, where are you? So how do you know someone sees you? As you all know that God sees everything. So my question to you is, how do you know that God sees you? How do you know God sees you? Uh-oh. Now we are quiet. From the scripture, just like how do I know I see someone or someone sees me? How do I know David sees me? Because when I look at him, he is looking at me. So when I am seeing God, then I will know God sees me. The question is, how do we see God? Or have you seen God? Or have we seen God? Any of us here have seen God 5 years ago? Any of us have seen God 5 years ago? 2 years ago? 1 year ago? Last month? Yesterday? Wow. Today, yes, today. Raise your hand, you see God today. Hallelujah, we see God today. We have seen hands that raise up, those who knows and who have seen God. For some of us, we may not see God every day. We may not see God for a long time. We may have seen God when we first come to Christ, when we first know Christ, but we haven't seen him for a while. What happened? And sometimes when we're in trouble, especially when we're in trouble, and then we complain to God, God, you don't see me. God, you don't see me. You don't know how much I'm suffering. You don't know what's going through in my life. God, you know, you said you know everything, but you don't know. You don't see me. And we complain to God because why? Sometimes we forgot to see God. So let's go to the scripture, Genesis 16, and see how this person see God. Okay, may we all rise and read together the first six verses from Genesis 16. Verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave you a servant to your embrace." And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. "May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." And Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for giving us your words. From these words, we can see your wisdom. We can see your provision. We can see your plan. May your words speak to us. Give us a softened heart. Give us a repentful heart. Give us a submissive heart. And also give us a pair of receptive ears so we can listen. Father God, may you speak to us today. May you speak to every one of us today, including myself, a sinner, that I'll come to repent before you so I can be with you, Father God. May you be with every one of us, because you are looking on every one of us. And may we look up to the sky and look for you also. Father God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So first, look at the scripture. It's kind of sad, right? There are three people in this six verses. There's Abram, Sarai, and Hagar. As you know, chapter 16 is after chapter 15. And what does Genesis 15 talk about? Genesis 15, come on, you help us. God made a covenant with Abram, and then he was proclaimed righteous because of his faith. Because of Abram's faith, he was proclaimed righteous. He was claimed righteous by God. And then what happened the next chapter, chapter 16? They can't wait. Sarah, Abram, they can't wait. It's been 10 years. They didn't have a son. The promise. So Sarah came up with this brilliant idea. Let's have a surrogate mom. So through her, that she can be blessed. She knows she's not having one because she's quite old. And then she came up with this brilliant idea. And then what did Abram do? Abram also fell in a trap. He was weak in that sense. He didn't step up to be the spiritual leader of the family. Does the story remind you of something in Genesis? Genesis 3. The man didn't step up. Here, Abram, the one who knows God, the one who was proclaimed righteous by God through his faith, didn't step up. He lost his faith. His faith was weakened. And he listened to Sarai's idea. Yeah, let's have a kid. Out of wedlock. And who is Hagar? Hagar is an Egyptian. She is a servant from Egypt. So she's probably given to Abram and Abram when he was in Egypt, when he was lying to Pharaoh. So she is a nobody. And here, Hagar has been in Abram and Sarai's family for 10 years, serving Sarai. I don't know what she does, but she must be close to Abram, because she is a little bit above the other slave girls, because she recommended Hagar to be the surrogate mom, to take her place, to conceive a baby, and to born a baby. So she can be blessed, not for Hagar. She asked Hagar to do this for her so she can be blessed. right? So Hagar's nobody. And when she was given to Abram, was she asked? Anybody ask her, you want to marry Abram? Have a kid for Sarai? I don't think so. She was a servant. She has nothing to say. But she submits. And then what happened? As we are all sinners, after she conceived, she became proud. Right? And then Sarah couldn't stand it. And then he went to Abram. See what you did? I gave Hagar to you. And then now see what Hagar's doing to me. And what did Abram do? She told Sarai, she is under your power. Do whatever you want. And what did Sarai do? She treated Hagar harshly. So Hagar was under a lot of stress. She was a nobody. She was unfairly treated. She could be abused emotionally, physically, mentally. And she couldn't stand it anymore. That's why she ran away. And she fled. She fled from her. Brothers and sisters, friends, do we all sometimes that there are situations that is so tough that we need to run away? I mean, 10 years ago, I mean, my marriage was really tough in the dark valley. It's the deepest part of the part and darkest part of the valley that I was about to quit. I was about to run away. I was on the way, running away. And God stopped me. It's amazing how God has worked in my life. I wasn't a Christian then. 10 years ago, I don't even know Christ. Then he led me to a Bible. And amazingly, miraculously, I opened to Malachi 2. And what did Malachi 2 said? Verse 16, God said, I hate divorce. Go back to fix your marriage. Go back to reconcile. There are times that I feel like I'm unfairly treated. I need to run away. I don't know about you. Do you have a controlling parent? Abusive siblings? Co-workers or fellow students who bully you? Unreasonable boss? Or someone in your life is so demanding, you just can't, I can't take it anymore. I can't take this kind of abuse. I can't take this kind of harassment anymore. I need to run away. I'm sure that you all have much more peaceful life than I do. There are times I still want to run away. But God is faithful, and he sees me. Let's go to continue to read this passage. I'm going to have 3 points. First is Hagar encountered God, and then she receives God's guidance, and then God's blessings. Let's go to number 7, verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness. The spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai. This is amazing. Here is verse 6 said, the angel of the Lord found her. Hagar is a nobody, an Egyptian, not a chosen one, not a Jew, not an Israelite. She's only a servant of the family of Abram and Sarai. But God, go and find her. Not just stumble into her, find her. With a purpose, God specifically go and find her. And where did God find her? In the wilderness, by a spring. And you know, God knows everything. But still, he slows down. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from? And where are you going? Usually when people ask you, where are you coming from? Or where have you come from? Where are you going? What does it say to you? To me, it means that person is interested in my life. He or she is interested in what I have been, how I grow up. He or she wants to know me more. That's why he asks. That's why that person asks. Where have you come from? Where are you going? What do you want to do? Does God know? Yes, he does. So why do you think God asked Sarai this? Where have you come from? And where are you going? God wants Sarai to know that God cares about her. Not only knowing her, but he really wants to listen from her heart, from her mouth, what she has been going through. And then Sarai said, I'm fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. Of course she is. She is in the wilderness. So there are times that we may not slow down to let God speak to us, even though God is ready to speak to us. He really cares about you and me. Of course, he knows where have I come from, but he still wants to listen to us. He wants to listen to our prayers. He wants to have a connection with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to know, what have I gone through today? What have I gone through yesterday? How did I feel about it? What was missing? How can he help? Because he's asking, where are you going? He wants to help. Right? He wants to be part of your life and my life. That's why he asks, where are you going? But a lot of times when we pray, we only pray in desperation. So we just like Hagar, I'm fleeing from my mistress Sarah. I may just say, God, I'm fleeing from all this trouble. I don't want to see them anymore. I don't want to go anywhere. I just don't want to see them. I just want to be away. I'm so focused on myself that, God, you need to know how much I'm suffering. I just can't handle it. I'm just so focused. Instead of opening up myself to God, let him work out all the things with me together, because he really wants to know, where are you going? A lot of times, like Hagar, I didn't answer that part. Where are you going? So, brothers and sisters, in our prayers, how often do we answer God's question, where are you going? Or where am I going? Or do we just say, do this for me, do this for me? And this is Hagar's encounter of God. So how did God respond? Verse 9, the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. Return to your mistress and submit to her. That is rough. She was fleeing from her mistress, Sarai, right? And God told her to return to her and submit to her. Now, when we read the Bible, especially narratives, there can be prescriptive or descriptive. In these words, they're both. God wants us to submit to her, to him. God wants us to submit to him, and that's prescriptive. He wants us to do everything like that, submit to God. And this is God's intention, because when Hagar submits to Sarai, she is actually submitting to God, because she already submitted to God by returning to her mistress Sarai before she can submit to her. She needs to return. God's intention is, Hagar, you submit to me. God's intention for every one of us is, You submit to God. I submit to God. So why does God want her to go back to an abusive relationship? First, God wants her to know that she needs to submit to God. She needs to know that she is a sinner too. So what's the sin that Hagar has committed? What's the sin that Hagar had committed? Remember verse 5? When she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. Instead of respect, instead of loving, instead of following, she looked at Sarah with contempt. What does that mean to you? What was going through in Hagar's heart when she is having contempt? Even Sarai can notice that Hagar is behaving like that. A lot of times you don't even have to say it. They express in our facial expression, express in our body language. So sometimes there are people that I don't like, and people can tell because it shows up on my face. And Hagar sinned with that contempt. And she needs to recognize that. And she knows. And she knows that when she goes back to Sarai, she needs to admit that she is wrong. Because if I run away from the family, if I go back home, then the first thing I need to do is what? I need to say sorry. Just like Luke 15, the prodigal son. The younger son, when he went back to his father, he said, "Father, I'm sorry. I sinned against heaven and against you." He asked for forgiveness. "I'm wrong." So she needs to submit to God. She needs to admit that she has wrong. She has sinned. She also needs to apologize. Ask for forgiveness. And that's tough. That's why returning to your mistress is descriptive. There are times that God will ask us to do things that totally out of our mind, out of our control. That is so outrageous. It doesn't make sense. But God only looks at our heart. He just wants me and you and us to submit to Him. So for Hagar is to go back and submit to Sarah. For you and me, it may be different at times. There are times that around eight, 9 years ago when I first became a Christian, and then, I run away from Sunday schools. I'm sure that some of you may have my kind of attitude or mentality or behavior, run away from Sunday schools. I like God's words, but I just don't like Sunday schools. Remember why? It was pretty simple because I don't know. I feel irritated. I feel embarrassed. I never feel I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Why do I keep going there to be embarrassed by someone? I mean, at that time, it was another church. They were studying the book of Jonah. It's only 4 chapters. So the pastor told us, okay, next week we'll start on studying Jonah's chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I went home, I have time to read, and I really want to learn, to know, to participate in Sunday school. Jonah's, what's the big story? That guy fell into the sea and then gets swallowed by a big fish and then, gets spit out. But the following Sunday came. Jonah's chapter 1. When the pastor asked all the questions, my face was blank because my mind was blank. I don't know how to answer. The following week, Jonah's chapter 2, same thing happened. I read and read and read, and it doesn't click. Jonah's chapter 3, Jonah's chapter 4, I said, that's it. I'm not going back. I don't want to embarrass. I don't want to sit there and just look like a dumb person. But God said, George, you go to study how to read the God's word. So when I asked my pastor here at New Hope Christian Church, then the pastor said, go to a seminary. I said, are you kidding? I don't even know how to read the Bible, and he asked me to go to a seminary. It was outrageous. And then he told me, okay, go to this seminary, the best in this area. I said, come on, you're pulling my leg. He said, just pray. I prayed, and I prayed with a few pastors, and then God finally led me to submit. I applied. I applied with hesitation that I'm going to finish. But when I tried to run away from my own embarrassment, when I think that I was treated unfairly at a Sunday school class, when I felt like I'm a nobody, God is still with me. Same here. God is still with Hagar. Even though she is a nobody, she is running away, and she is mistreated, but she knows Hagar and provides her a way out. Her way out is to go back to Sarai. Can you click the next slide, please? And then the blessing. Verse 10, it said, the angel of the Lord also said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. 11, and the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are pregnant, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to you affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. Even though Hagar was pregnant with a baby out of wedlock, a baby that God doesn't plan, but still God honored her and blessed her. Doesn't mean that God allows us and like us to do things out of his will, but God, out of his mercy and grace, he will still make it right. He still bless us. It's just like I am a sinner. I continue to sin every day. But still, he continues to bless me, continues to be with me. So here, she blessed Hagar with a family. Not just a family. Multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered by multitude. Remember what God has promised Abraham? Abram? He cannot count his descendants just like sand and water, stars in the world. There's so many. Again, Hagar was blessed with a kingdom, with a population, with her descendants. And she was going to have a boy, even though the boy can be rebellious, but that's a different story. But God still blessed her. So, this is also simple. When we read, we know that God sees Hagar and Hagar sees God. So how did Hagar see God? How did Hagar know she sees God? She can be hearing things. She can be hallucinating. She can be imagining things. Then how did Hagar know she saw God? Let's look at 13. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing. For she said, truly here I have been seen who looks after me. Therefore, the well was called Beer Laharoi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. As you know, when the angel of the Lord found Hagar, she was in near a spring in Shur. Shur is a desert. It's so big, it's so huge. And we all know that we need water, we need food to live, and air. Without water, it's hard to live. In Exodus 15, Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, went into the wilderness of Shur. They walked for 3 days and couldn't find water. It's not easy to find water. God has been with Hagar all this time. You know it's by accident? You think it's by accident that Hagar was near a spring? No. It was God's providence. She was there. God wants to keep her alive. God wants to use her to be a blessing. A lot of times, we may don't see things that God sees. Just like Hagar, she may not realize that how hard it is to find a spring, but she was there. In situation, in our case, our situation can be so tough that we don't see a way out. But when God opened our eyes, the solution is right there. And Hagar realized that it's so hard to find water. She is in the desert. She is hopeless, and she's trying to go back to possibly Egypt. And that's a long walk. And it's so hard, so easy to get lost in the desert, and so hard to find water. And you get dried out because of the sun, the heat. I mean, you get dehydrated. I mean, yeah, we get dehydrated so fast. And the Lord spoke to her. The angel of the Lord, not only seek her, found her, but he listened and spoke to her. He asked her question, where have you come from? Where are you going? And then God spoke to her. That's why she is pretty sure that it's God. Who else would do that? She knows it's God. God spends time to talk to her. And what happened? After she talked to God, after she has seen God, truly, here I have seen him who looks after me. What do you think she meant? As we all know, we are sinners. When we all see God, we die. Hagar saw God. What happened? She didn't die. She's still alive. That's God's grace. He is compassionate. He wants to know about your life, your days, your being, my life too. But on the same side, he is gracious and compassionate to us. He delayed his judgment. He delayed his judgment to Hagar. He delayed his judgment to everyone because he delayed his judgment to us also. He even sent his son Jesus to come to remind us that there's one day the Lord is going to come judge us. But until that day, we can repent. We can go back to the Lord and submit to him. And God bless all those who are faithful, all those who submit to him through faith, even though a lot of times we cannot see. We may not see the spring right next to us. We may not see the opportunity, the exit right next to us. But God knows when we submit through our faith, even though we cannot see, God will see for us and open up the way, lead us to the exit, to the way to heaven. And then God also blessed her by a multitude. And my challenge is to you, brothers and sisters, is even though Hagar is an outcast, a nobody, God sees her. As Pastor Luke has told us last week, that we are all children of God. Our identity is children of God. Do you think God sees us? Is God seeing you? Is God seeing me? Or am I seeing God? Because earlier when I asked those questions, I only see a few hands. So I don't know, when was the last time you see him? Or have you ever seen him? So if we want to be seen by God, first we need to see God. So how do we intentionally see God? First, we need to pause. We need to slow down. Even though in the midst of a lot of work, a lot of challenges that we don't know how to handle, we need to pause and ask God. So let God minister to us, just as God has ministered to Hagar. He said, where have you been? Where do you come from? Where are you going? He wants to be in our life. He wants to participate in our life. Pause. Slow down. Give God some time. And give yourself some time. Give myself some time. I'm telling you, I'm telling myself. A lot of times I don't slow down. I see people and I just, because I'm a doer. I'm not an excuse, but I'm still a doer. I need to slow down to be with people and ask people, where have you been? How are you doing? Where are you going? How can I pray for you? Pause. Second is centering God. Not just everything is about me. Everything is about God. When you want to see God, you need to really know God and put him in the middle, in the center, in the spotlight. It's not easy. A lot of times I just go back to myself. And when I have trouble doing that, I cannot see God. And I know, because now it's just like sometimes I remind myself, I purposely slow down and remind myself. And I would say this prayer, 13 words. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That prayer will humble me. That prayer humbles me. That prayer empowers me because I'm relying on God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Next is to be in silence. Just to spend some time with God in solitude. You will be alone, but not lonely, because God is with you. God is right there. He is waiting to talk, to communicate, to teach, to feel, and to touch us. Be in silence, because a lot of times when we're too busy listening to other things, we cannot listen to God. We cannot listen to God, even though he may speak to us. We may be too busy in looking at other things, even though he is sending his angels to us. So spend some time in silence and solitude. And spend time in scripture. And that's how you find God, just like somebody has said earlier. You find God in scripture. Yesterday, and I was visiting a homeless person in the hospital. She was so lost. She lost her family. She lost everything. She was in the ICU. And the first thing she asked is, she asked for prayer. She was in distraught. She was out, because she was overwhelmed. She doesn't know how to respond, how to react. But still, she asked for prayer. And after we prayed for her, and she asked for a Bible. She asked for a Bible. Yesterday, and another chaplain and I have done like 15 visits, but only one person requested a Bible. We need to go back to the scripture. This is God's word. When you want to see God, you want to encounter God, you want to know what God is speaking to you, we need to know him. How do we know him? Go back to his words. Go back to the Bible. Be with him and read his words. Because he is gracious, he is compassionate, he's always want to be with us. To hold our hand through the darkest valley, through the darkest light in my life, in our life, that he wants to be part of it. Read the scripture. Then we may see God. Pause, slow down, put God into the center of our life. Have some silence and solitude time by yourself. Be with God. Be alone by yourself and with God. And continue to read the scripture and let God speak to every one of us. And this is my wish and my hope. Just like Job 42:5 said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. A lot of times we hear so many testimonies from brothers and sisters, from friends, oh, how God has provided for them. So many great stories. My challenge is to every one of you, including myself, how do I see God? Just like Job had. Even though we have heard so many good things about God, but now my eye sees you. Let's bow our head. Father God, we thank you so much for these powerful words. You are a God of amazement because you are our creator. Everything surrounds you. You created our life. You created the heavens and the earth, and you are the ultimate creator. You're the king above all kings. You're the Lord above all lords. You are the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yes, even though I am a nobody, I am a slave of sin. I have been mistreated by others out of their sin. But you still notice me. You still notice us because you notice every one of us. You know every hair on our body. You know the number of hair on our body. You know all the details, but yet you slow down and ask, where have you come from and where are you going? Lord, may we all have our time to be silent alone with you, to really meditate on your words, and to answer your questions. Where have I come from? Where am I going? Father God, may your words transform our lives. And may your words open up our eyes, just like Job, even though he has hurt you by the hearing of the ear. But now we can all see through our eyes. Because when we see you, then we know we're connected with you. When we see you, we know that you are seeing us. And you sees everything. Father God, we thank you so much. May you be with this whole congregation that we all come to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.